Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We were all meant to shine as children do. It's not just in some of us, it's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same, as we are liberated from our own fear. Our presence automatically liberates others.
Hello, hello. This is Marlon Avery, the host of your new podcast, It's Time to Start Manhood. In these upcoming episodes, we will be discussing stories and experiences that we all face during our manhood journey. Well, why this podcast? I know that so many men are alone in this journey, and honestly, a lot of us have no clue what it means to be a man anymore. Now, let's get this understood. I am not calling myself an expert by any means necessary. I am simply documenting my journey along the way while we all learn together. We couldn't be more excited to have you listening and join us upon this podcast. Now, on this podcast, we will be discussing stories and experiences that will challenge you to start manhood. Stay tuned to this feed for more very, very soon. Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing? It's been a while. I wasn't sure if I was going to continue this podcast. You know, most everybody know I have another podcast. It's called Coding Life. We're just talking about the coding life journey of developers. And I started doing this podcast, you know, with the intent to you just kind of really document the manhood journey, in particular, you know, mine and, you know, people around me. And so, you know, I just kind of, I'll be honest, just kind of got lazy with it. And I started to kind of like lose focus and lose direction. And I think these past couple of weeks and mostly even more the last 24 hours have really encouraged me to kind of dive back into this. And so, this one's tough. This one's going to be tough on the ears. This is going to be tough coming from my lips. But I think it's needed. I mean, I think, I think it's needed. And so, unfortunately, we're not prone to understanding that the rise in unarmed killing, more specifically to Black men. And I want to talk about this, and you know, being a Black male, that's who I am. So that is my perspective. That is my understanding. You know, so I'm gonna talk about this. And so there's one happened. What was it, last year? Stephon Clark. And so Stephon Clark was a unarmed man, a Black man in Sacramento. Was getting stopped in a traffic stop, and had his hands up, and one of the officers suspected that with his hands being up, a Black object in his hand could appear to be a gun. And to find out, it was not. It was a cell phone. And so they shot him, killed him. And so, they announced yesterday that the two officers who shot and killed Stephon Clark
for holding a cell phone, thought it was a gun, will not face any criminal charges. It's distasteful as it is, whatever may your perspective may be, let me kind of dive deeper into that. You know, I want to talk about what happens when one black male is killed. You know, or even being absent. So, here we go. Most of the time, unfortunately, most of the time, these males have kids, siblings, parents, nieces and nephews, and friends, coworkers. So yet as I see that, a lot of times we just see this, oh, it's just one person. Let me break down how it affects hundreds, thousands, millions. Okay. I'm just going to go into paint a picture here. A black male gets killed. He has family, friends, everything. That affects them, if we like it or not. Now watch this. Let's talk about their kids. Now, this son, daughter has to grow up without a father in the household. Without a father being in a household, kids, mostly males, are more likely to have health issues, more likely to, not succeed in school, more likely to be in jail. You know, we've all, even myself, goodness, we've all experienced, well, maybe not all, but most of us experienced the male where they just have no type of emotions towards women. What do you think that comes from? There's something there. So, you know, with these kids still growing up, like, here we go. Let's say his child is, 4 years old. And 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old, he starts school. He's a bad student. He won't sit down, won't stay still. He won't be quiet. He's hitting other kids. Watch this. That takes effects on other kids, which takes effects on other parents. Remind you, he just had his father killed. He's acting out in anger when he doesn't even understand what anger is. Okay, he gets into, elementary, same thing. Now watch this. He's a class clown, acting up, everything. The teachers start to take disliking to him. This kid's not going to be anything. Don't see it. Actually, it may, watch this. It may be time that we put him in a slow class. Remind you, he just had his father killed. He's not acting out of necessarily behavior. He's acting out of emotional reaction, which he does not understand what it is. And then a lot of times we don't necessarily want to take the time to dig in what it is. Why is he doing this? We want the quick solution. Let's just put him in a class so we won't have to deal with him. That's elementary. Let's go to middle school. Middle school, now he's starting to feel himself a little bit. starting to get a little more cocky, but he's still hurting. So now he's starting to, let's call it, you know, mark his territory on the playground. He may start fighting. That affects other kids, which affects their parents, which affects their parents, family, and friends. All of a sudden, they have a negative annotation of this child. It reminds you he had his father killed. We don't want to take the time nor patience to dig in why. That affects the parents. The parents have to take off work, which may affect their bills. They may miss a bill, miss a payment. The teachers still have a negative annotation of what this child is and who he is. And watch this, even more importantly, who he may grow up to be. Again, to remind you, he had his father killed. Kids start working. He starts working, you know, trying to make some little side money. Still having behavior issues because he haven't had a strong authority in the household. So he doesn't want to listen to his boss. Doesn't see the point. He hasn't had a consistent authority in the household. Sure, the mother's there. She's doing the best she can. Let me side note. I want this to be clear too, and I understand, and maybe we dropped off too. I understand before there was some women listening. If you are a single mother, first of all, a round of applause. It's hard. I was raised by a single mother. If you're a single mother, please understand this though. You are a mother, and that's it. That's not a negative thing. But please do not dive into the society thing of where you're filling the fatherly roles. You're not. You are a mother and a strong one. That male growing up, that female growing up is still going to have holes in their life. They got to figure it out. Kids start working. He doesn't want to listen to his boss. He's not even, you know, he's not even going to treat the customers right because he has an attitude. Again, remind you, he had his father killed. So he has an attitude. He is fired. He may have been helping, you know, the household. Watch this. He may have been helping raise his siblings. Because again, there is no father in the household. Now his boss, his teachers, his coworkers, his family, and his friends all have a negative notation of who he is because he doesn't know what's going on. He's acting out of emotional reaction. He doesn't fully understand it. High school comes. Gets to play sports. Really? You know, sports is actually good because you have the ability to release some of that anger. But what are you releasing if you don't know where it's coming from? I don't understand it. But high school comes, though. Not only is he still the class clown, you know, still acting up, still do not respect authority, but now the ladies get involved. Now sexual partners started to come in. My man has no feelings towards it, though. Deemed a savage. So going to the next. All of a sudden, by the time he graduates high school, 30 to 40 to 50 women has been emotionally affected. What do you think those women do to the next person? He doesn't know any better. He had his father killed. He doesn't focus in school. What's the point? Teachers don't want to deal with him. He's a class clown. He won't pay attention. So they want to throw him into, you know, detention. I don't want to deal with it. Nobody wants to take the time to figure out why, what's going on. Remind you, he had his father killed. We haven't gotten into real life yet, and I've already painted a picture simply from 0 to 18 without a father, how it can affect more than 50 people who has family, friends, which they're going to connect to other people. Just one individual. He starts getting into, you know, may start getting into the workforce, which is even worse because he still don't even understand who he is. So trying to paint a picture of who he is, what he can do, what he's built for, why he's here. And society has no remorse. They don't care. You might be short results or you're not. If you're not, get out. Remind you, he had his father killed. And yet we take a, we take this approach when we see a black man being gunned down, it's just one. He shouldn't have been doing X, Y, and Z. First of all, shouldn't have been doing X, Y, and Z. Does any of that in deservance of somebody getting a life taken? I don't care what it is. Yeah, the officers carry tasers for a reason. There's nothing threatening there other than the man's color of his skin. And I really, really tried to move away from this, but man, it bothered me. And the reason I'm able to speak to such a perspective and such an outline, because a lot of that was me. You know, my pops was in jail. Vast majority of me being 0 to 18. That takes a toll on the individual. And yet we just look at it and just be like, okay, whatever. We don't want to take the time to help, reach out, say hi, thinking about you. What's going on? You need anything? How can I help? What are you doing? It's tough. But again, I painted a picture. That's just one scenario out of a thousands. That's one scenario out of a thousands where it was, what, 1,100, 1,200 people killed last year by police officers, unarmed? 90% since 2005 are not indicted. 90 police officers. There's no accountability there. So why would they stop? If they know the system is set up unarmed or whatever it may be, if there's no system is set up where they're not going to be punished, okay, what the fuck y'all going to do to me? Gotta spend a little money, get a lawyer, shed a tear. What's the solution? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I think there are certain things I do. There are certain actions I do take, though. If I am pulled over, the last two times I was pulled over, the first time I didn't, the guy gave me, did I get a ticket? No, I didn't get a ticket. But it was a black officer, and before he left, I asked him what his name was. Shook his hand and said, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. And I wasn't saying thank you for not giving me a ticket. I personally didn't care, because in the scheme of things, it's that stuff is minor. When you could have been another hashtag. So took the time, shook his hand, said thank you for what you're doing. Second time I got pulled over, I did get a ticket. White male. I was intentionally respectful. Asked him how his day was. Shook his hand. What's your name? Thank you for what you're doing. Are you trying to get out a ticket? Nope. What I'm trying to do is extend courteousness, courteousness. I can't even say it, whatever. I was trying to extend mostly gratitude to him, and hopefully it may roll over to the next individual, because that next individual could be that hashtag. It ain't about you as an individual. Are you helping or not? It's really binary. In what way are you helping? There's millions of ways to help. But I think a lot of times we just try to go on about our business. I'm going to be honest. I tried to do that today. I couldn't. It really bothered me. I don't even know the man, but it really, really bothered me. Because unfortunately, to a lot of individuals, just all black people are the same. With that kind of narrow mindset, that can literally just be me. The next hashtag, you. The next hashtag. So, I don't know. I really don't. But I just want to kind of I just had to necessarily kind of get that. I had to get that off my chest. That really bothered me. Here's a question. You're close. If you're a Caucasian person, listen to this. A Hispanic person, Asian, whatever it may be. The closest person you know who is African American, put them in that place, because it very well, unfortunately, could be. Then how would you react? Even people of color, we tend to leak over this because it's starting to seem like the norm. How would you react if it was your closest friend, family member, brother, sister, uncle, dad? Yeah, no, that's all I got. oh, boy. All right, y'all.